Lexicon. There are many words to help us understand the nature of the Bible. Words like perspicuity, the clarity of Scripture. God uses the text of Scripture to clearly communicate His character and will. God has not hidden His will for only the enlightened few to find. His truth can be clearly understood by anyone who reads His Word. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let me walk that back. This is Wretched Radio. For a long time, a personal pet peeve has been individuals with whom you're engaging in conversation that suddenly feel compelled to just look at their phone and then just tap onto it, whatever it happens to be, as if it's more important than you talking to that person. I shouldn't have been so uptight about that. So let me just walk that back. And if you don't mind, I'm going to check a text right now from Jimmy Hicks. You see, I would hate to be hypocritical, is what I'd hate to be. You just sent a text. Well, I can't describe this text. March meowness. It is a cat playing bagpipes in a Scottish kilt.
Because you love cats and bagpipes.
Can you put it together? This would be Dante's third ring, if I'm not mistaken. Thanks for that wonderful meme there, Jimmy. Got to share with you some of the details from the British Museum, stating that there are paintings of the countryside that can evoke dark nationalistic feelings. Like dark nationalistic feelings? Like what? Like looking back and saying, that's my history. That's the nation that produced me. Those are bad things these days. Cambridge at the Fitzwilliam Institution. Rural paintings can stir dark emotions. Quote, the new signage states the pictures of rolling English hills can stir feelings of pride toward our homeland. No, we can't have pride toward our homeland. That's right. In a gallery displaying a bucolic work by Constable, visitors are informed that there's a darker side to the nationalist feeling evoked by images of the British countryside. It states the national sentiment comes with the implication that only those with a historical tie to the land have a right to belong. Oh, is that what it's saying? That's why those guys made those paintings. To keep people out. Ah, you weren't born on this land. You're not white. May this painting forever help you to feel third class. I think that's pretty much what they were thinking. A sign from the Nature Gallery states landscape paintings were always entangled with national identity. Well, how's about they're a painting of the countryside? And even if it is connected with national identity, probably a social construct, nevertheless, what's the problem here? Oh, yeah, we don't want countries and nations anymore. The countryside was seen as a direct link to the past and therefore a true reflection of the essence of a nation. Because, you know, everybody who lived before us, they were awful. I don't know if you've heard, but they were just terrible and everything that they produced, abominable. You know, all those bridges, roads, museums, hospitals, universities, you know, all of those mathematical formulas, all bad. All stupid. All done. Paintings showing rolling English hills or lush French fields reinforce loyalty and pride toward a homeland. Oh, we wouldn't want to have that now, will we? In fact, as long as we're in Great Britain, a number of stories coming out of Great Britain, they are ahead of America right now when it comes to wokeness and CRT application. We aren't far behind, but I'm telling you, a lot of stuff is going on right now in Great Britain that should cause a lot of us to go, is this what's coming our way? And the answer is probably. Retired British woman on trial for holding sign offering to talk to women considering abortion. The woman's name is Livia. And her, oh, you know what? I'm going to walk this back. This woman is E-V-I-L, terrible. Jimmy, wait, her sign. It said, here to talk if you want. Listen, what? How could do? Near an abortion facility in Bournemouth, England. Local authorities confronted her, alleging she'd breached a local abortion buffer zone and issued a fixed penalty notice, which she actually refused to pay. You need to know that in 2023, the UK government passed legislation in the Public Order Act to reinforce sensorial buffer zones around all abortion facilities. In other words, judgment, anything that's a judgment. And I love this. It bans any form of influence, whether positive or negative. Sure. I know they've got problems with those people that make signs and go to abortion clinics that say, you go, girl, you go. They would not put up with that monkey business. That's what's going on in the UK. But wait, there's even, wait a second. In Canada, that's a lot like Great Britain. There's, I think, a similar, yeah, okay, speech crimes. Here it is. Canadian law would allow judges to hand down life sentences for speech crimes. This hasn't gone through yet. The Queen Justine of Canada, in its seemingly limitless power to impose the will on Canadians, isn't enough. It's a new hate speech law. This is from Not the Bee. Is billed as a protection of children, would criminalize speech in Canada to an even greater degree. It's Bill C-53. The details don't matter. What matters is a government that's saying, we're going to control your speech. We're not going to let you say everything that you think. So it's not free speech at all. But back to Great Britain we go. In Trafalgar Square, that's in London, there were some statues of Christians. They're coming down. This is a medium that doesn't allow you to see what those statues in Trafalgar Square were replaced with. They couldn't be more ridiculous. That they couldn't be more awful looking, lacking in any artistic value whatsoever. They are just hideous, and that is by design. Statues say something. So does architecture. I listened to a little bit. It's about the 30-minute mark. It's actually worth hearing. It was Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo sat down to have a gentlemanly conversation, and it was gentlemanly. I thought one individual had his facts straighter than the other, of course, and his positions more fixed and far less assailable. Nevertheless, for some reason, Tucker Carlson went on a rant about brutalism, this architecture that just sucks the life out of humanity, because you go into this place that has no artistic value. It doesn't transcend. It doesn't lift up. It says you're a worker. Cog, get your job done. Architecture speaks. That's why you see these buildings that go up. What is that doing here? Why did they? They're making a statement, and that statement is being made in Trafalgar Square. Here are the details: that the statues were of individuals. That's right, who were missionaries. A bronze and blue homage to a metropolitan woman of color, and Andra Ursada's resin sculpture of a horse and a rider, not thrown into the sea, but covered in a shroud. They were the winners, and they are quite ugly. Really, I'm sorry. I know we're not supposed to judge anything, unless, of course, you judge, then we'll judge you for judging. These things are ridiculous. They are horrible looking. Now, we, I guess, should be grateful because there were a couple of runners-up for the hideous replacement statues in Trafalgar Square. Now, for instance, one of the losers, that doesn't seem very 2024, a giant sweet potato and a colorful ice cream van. They didn't make the cut. Instead, guys who were Baptist missionaries to Africa get chopped down. And these statues, by the way, were pleasing to the eye. The replacements are hideous to the eye. And we call it art. And then we call you a dodo who doesn't get it because why? Because why? Because the statue and the artwork that is nonsensical, the painting that is nothing but a splatter that you're supposed to interpret, it's a message of deconstructionism, that all of the stuff that we used to make that we thought was noble and lofty just got to go. Forget the Baptist missionary part. If it's a statue that's pretty, that was made by those people who were idiots, who don't understand what we know today, that there needs to be a breaking down of the hegemony, and we've got to have everybody exactly the same. So we got to tear everything down that existed. I don't know if you listened to the conversation between Tucker Carlson and Chris Cuomo. It was a lengthy conversation, and Tucker Carlson got off about the 30-minute mark, a screed about brutalism, the architectural style that you see and go, what was the point of that? It's just brutal. It drains the life out of a human. It doesn't transcend and lift up and say, hey, you're important. We want you to see nice stuff. It just says you're a cog. You're a worker. Why do we see brutalism? Why do we see horrible statues being put up, replacing pretty ones? Deconstruction. This is Wretched Radio. Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We certainly appreciate each and every one of you who tune in and listen, and each and every one of you who have supported us previously. Now, I want to take a moment and ask if you would consider, prayerfully consider, joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Imagine the impact we could have together with your ongoing support. I'm talking reaching millions of people all over the world with the life-changing gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." So standing firm is not just a posture, it is a partnership in the gospel that moves mountains, that changes hearts, and saves souls. So if you're in a good place right now in your life, you're giving to your local church, then we would ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. You can get all of the answers to all of the questions you could possibly ever have at wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. And if you are now perhaps intrigued by what they do at Masters Academy International, would encourage you to check them out. Yes, we're doing a Bible distribution program with them, but they're training pastors around the globe. Seminary-trained students at the Masters Seminary return to their native land, and they get plugged into a Masters Academy International mini seminary outlet where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. It's brilliant. And these indigenous pastors trained at the Masters Seminary train indigenous pastors. Brilliant. It is a wonderful ministry, and you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. You can do that at wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hermeneutics is the art and science of interpreting scripture. One key principle of hermeneutics is reading verses in context. Words can have multiple meanings, but the intended meaning of a word is understood from its context in the surrounding words, verses, paragraphs, and chapters, all understood in the context of the Bible as a whole. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
A colossal waste? This is Wretched Radio. Are you familiar with the American Bible Society? They've been around for a long time. They had a plan to open up a museum. Where? In Philadelphia. Where else? Independence Mall. Perfect. Expecting to draw 250,000 visitors a year to see Bibles. And it bombed. Bigly. Instead of receiving 250,000 visitors a year, the revenue from ticket sales shows 5,400 visitors in the year 2022. I grant you, COVID was a part of it, but 5,400 versus 250,000? The tickets are $10, and they could not drag people into a Bible museum. And it's, I didn't tour it. I suspect it's probably like the Bible Museum in Washington that has some less than stellar commentaries. Nevertheless, the Bible Museum that they had built in Philadelphia, a huge Bible museum, $60 million, called the Faith and Liberty Discovery Center. I'm not sure. Faith and Liberty? Faith and Liberty? I know you're in Philadelphia. So America, the Bible, I see what they're up to. Nevertheless, it was to connect the Bible with the influences of Christianity on the United States. Had lots of potential, flopped. And one of the individuals who worked there, undisclosed, it was a colossal waste. And that might seem to be a bit of a small story, but I think it's actually bigger than what meets the eye. How can a Bible museum, how can anything, an independent, right in the heart, it's right in the guts of the city, an Independence Mall, that's like Touristville. And people wouldn't part with $10 to go see Bibles and the influence of Christianity on Western civilization. Now, this is what I think they should have done. I can actually fix the problem and maybe keep these people from tearing down the museum. This is what I think they need to do. They need to add some other books. They need to add like some American authors that are super popular. You know, maybe some mystery novels could be added in. They could have a mystery book wing is what they could have in there. They could have romance novel. Boom. Jimmy, this is strong. They should have contacted us. And of course, we should probably put the pornography wing in there because, hey, that's free speech and that's art, don't you know? And by the way, if you haven't heard what's going on in Texas, the Texas legislature decided, there's got to be some way to keep kids off of Pornhub. And so they came up with some sort of legislation that did just that. And Pornhub said, well, we're just going to not allow anything in Texas. You don't want the kids to watch it? Well, we won't let the adults watch it either. And what are they saying? It's a violation of artistic expression. In other words, you people who don't want children to look at filthy images are violating our constitutional rights. Staggering. Pornhub said, that's ineffective, haphazard, and dangerous. And it'll also inevitably reduce content creators' ability. I'm sorry. I feel for these people. Content creators' ability to post and distribute legal adult content directly impact their ability to share the artistic messages they want to convey. These poor people. 8 states have passed similar legislation. You might want to know there are Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Montana, North Carolina, Utah, and Virginia. Which means if there's ever going to be some sort of secession in America, if I were a bet man, I might put my money on those states. Now, in response to that, I don't quite understand this. I'm not technological at all. I'm not even attracted to shiny objects. The VPN searches, the virtual private network searches, soared when Pornhub decided we're not going to let anybody in Texas watch our artistic content. So all the men had to go scrambling to find another way to get their fix of pornography. Artistic expression. If I said to you, we need to add all of those wings and divisions to the almost now defunct American Bible Society Museum of the Bible, an independent mall in Philadelphia, you would say, well, hold on a second. Why do you think you need to add those things? Well, we got to get people to come. They're not interested in the Bible. So we need to present other forms of literature. There could, Jimmy, I think a Sudoku? Is that, that's artistic. That's literature. I guess to a crossword puzzle that's got words in it. So we will have a crossword section where the people who pay $10 to come thinking they're going to have to endure nothing but Bibles, they can play a crossword. That would pull them right out of the fire. And you say, what are you going on about, Friel? I'm talking about the seeker-sensitive movement in America. I'm talking about the churches that do the very thing that I am jesting about. That we take the Sunday morning service and we gussy it up to attract the world. That we, apparently not believing the Bible and certainly the contents of the Bible are interesting enough for people, we turn it into a whoop-de-doo fest. Zing, zing, pow, pow, got to get the folks to come. It is called the seeker-sensitive movement, and it works if your goal, of course, is numbers and revenue generation. It works. You know the history. It was introduced by Robert Schuller. It was picked up by Rick Warren. Bill Hybels jumped onto the seeker-sensitive train. Maybe he was even before Rick Warren. To go out to the community of pagans and say, what's it going to take to get you in here? What do you need to be amused on Sunday morning? And the answer was that Bible thing. Let's just keep the dust on it and let it sit on the shelf. So we don't use Bibles. It's not the foundation of a sermon. It's merely a springboard for life hacks. And then, of course, there's the big show, the music. It's got to be rocking. It's got to be thumping. It certainly cannot be lofty, transcendent. It's got to have a lot of noise to it because I need something. And just, I was thinking about when I was a kid. Yep. When I was a kid, thousands, I kid you not, thousands. I went to thousands of church services. You say, you're exaggerating. I'm telling you, no, I'm not. From ninth grade on, I went to chapel twice a day, Monday through Friday, once on Saturday, and then, of course, church on Sunday. Now, you add that up for 8 years, and that gives you a whole lot, I think about 3,000 church services. And not once did anybody need to get up front. Come on, everybody. Come on, put your hands together. Come on, church. How's everybody doing this? Not once. And it's funny. People actually sang. But today, because we're such a short attention span society and a consumer-driven society, there's got to be more than just lyrics. There's got to be more than just singing theology. I need more stimulation than that. And we give it to them. And so we come up with these repetitious, mind-numbing, catchy choruses to keep people engaged because otherwise they won't come. Now, what are the implications of this? Now, we could, of course, conclude that American society is filled with people with a consumer-driven mindset. That is most certainly true. We all have that propensity, don't we? Come on, let's be honest. You go visit a church, you judge it. Let's be honest. We all do it, sometimes quite sinfully. And we could talk about the short attention spans. Yep. And a lack of understanding of any sort of musical sophistication that might be a loftier offering for our lofty, transcendent God. Yep. But what does it say about those who are running those shows? It says we're not confident in our source material. The very book that establishes why we're here, it is not enough. Furthermore, what God has determined as elements that he wants in his worship, that ain't going to do the trick. So in come movie clips, all kinds of props and whiz-bangery, pastors ziplining into a church. What are they saying? They're saying, we just don't think that God is interesting enough. And I would respond and say, if you can't present God as being interesting enough, you ain't qualified. And that's the state of the church. And perhaps that screed is somewhat familiar. But I would ask all of us, it's not just the world that has that propensity to desire elements inside of congregational worship that are more than just mental engagement. They have more stimuli. We all have a propensity for that, don't we? And so I wonder, just wonder if all of us perhaps need to consider how we are judging our own churches. How are you assessing the church? Is it built on how perhaps entertained you were, or is it on how God Himself was presented? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.